السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن آياته خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف ألسنتكم وألوانكم. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created each and every one of us different. Allah Ta'ala has created us different in terms of our appearance, in terms of our temperaments, in terms of our intellectual capacities. And Allah Ta'ala has made mention of this in the Holy Quran in several ways. In Surah Qiyamah, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala makes mention, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَلَّن نَجْمَعَ عِزَامًا, that the people who doubted resurrection, they said, does Allah Ta'ala, will Allah bring us back to life after our bones have become completely destroyed, obliterated? Will Allah bring us back to life? So Allah Ta'ala replied to this by saying, Bala qadirina ala an nusawwiya banana. Yes, we will bring you back to life. And Allah has the capacity to bring you life with your very same fingerprints that you had in this world. Banana means fingerprints. Not the banana that we eat. Banana here in Arabic language means the fingerprints. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will bring you back with the same fingerprints. Now just imagine the significance. That time perhaps Allah knows. Today we come to know that everyone's fingerprint is distinct and different from every human being created by Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala has created us so different. Everyone's fingerprint is different from every other human being. Allah tells us, on the day of Qiyamah, I will bring you back with the same fingerprints. So despite the fact that human beings are so different, Allah Ta'ala wants us to be one. So we all know the hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, Al-mu'minuna karajul wahid, in ishtaka aynuhu ishtaka kullu. That believers are like one single body. If one part of the body is paining, then the entire body feels the pain. It doesn't happen that one part of the body is restless and the body is, you know, completely tranquil. It doesn't happen like that. So it could be even a small part of the body. If it is paining, the entire body feels the pain and becomes restless. That is how we are supposed to be united. That we are so supposed to be, despite the fact Allah created us differently, we are supposed to be united in such a manner that we are supposed to be like one single body. And until we don't reach that stage, Allah's help and assistance won't come upon us, and there will be no blessings in the ummah. And that is perhaps one of the tragedies of this ummah. Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, the son of Maulana Ilyas, a very great scholar, had said, until we don't become united, Allah's assistance won't come upon us. Anyway, that is one part. Despite Allah creating us different, Allah wants us to be one, like one single body. But I want to steer the talk today in a very different direction. Just as there is difference amongst human beings in terms of the appearance, people also differ in various other ways. So in the verse I've recited, Allah Ta'ala says, amongst the signs of Allah, He created the heavens and earth, and He created you with different colors and different languages. Today we sometimes tend to look down upon languages. We sometimes make a fun with regard to other people's language or the color of their skin. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, in Surah Rum, people having different languages and different colors of their skin and their hue is a sign of Allah's creative power. It's not something to look down upon a person for. You don't look down upon a person because he speaks a different language from you or he's a different color from you. In fact, if you look down, just remember what I'm saying. If you look down and you regard as inferior another person on the basis of the color of his skin, it is not his fault. You are taking out fault in the creative power of Allah Ta'ala. When you look down upon a person because of the color of his skin, you are actually undermining the creative power of Allah. You are inferring that Allah Ta'ala created something that is wrong. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِ among the signs of Allah, creation of heavens and earth, and people of different colors and different languages. Just as that is different, and this is very important for us to understand, people also differ in the intellect. So people will have different understandings of how to reach conclusions, different methodologies. People have different ways of thinking. Just as there is a difference in people's appearance, in terms, and I told you how different they are in appearance, different in the color of their skin, different in languages, different in temperaments, there is also a difference in people's intellectual capacity. People think differently. Now, because people think differently, there is always going to be difference of opinion. Because people think differently, people have different intellectual capacities, there is also going to be a difference in the way people think. And sometimes that difference comes about because of people's different intellectual capacities, sometimes because of temperament, as I will go on to explain. So if this is the case, that people have differences in personalities, in the appearance, and in the intellectual capacity, there is always going to be difference of opinion. There's always going to be different ways people reach conclusions, and there will be difference of opinion. And that is one of the challenges of the age. How do we deal with difference of opinion? That is one of the most important things. How do we deal with difference of opinion? And in everything, in every relations, even in marriage, for example. Marriage and relationships don't sustain, are not sustained by the good times. They are sustained when and how do you deal with differences? How do you deal with challenges? How do you deal when things are not going so well? When things are going well, I mean, who's going to have a problem? You know, sometimes things are going well. So they said that a couple one day, they went for honeymoon, and after they went for honeymoon, they came back. So the mother of the bride phoned the bride and said, how is everything going? And said, we had such a wonderful honeymoon. Everything was so beautiful. The holiday went well. It was so romantic. Everything went well. The travel arrangement was excellent. Everything was excellent. And then she started crying. So the mother said, why are you crying now? She said, oh, my mother, since I came back after the honeymoon, such a beautiful period, now you started using those four-letter words, such horrible four-letter words. I don't know what you might be thinking. She said, wow, what four-letter words? And said, iron, dust, clear, cook. You know, all of a sudden she's using all those four-letter words. So that's a time you have to be able to deal with those type of situations which are challenging, to have a good time. And in a similar manner, just as we have differences of opinion, and because of this difference of opinion, there will be, you have to deal with it in marriages, there's also going to be difference of opinion in religious matters. Now this is a sensitive thing, we need to speak about it, and we need to speak to it about it with the sensitivity that it deserves. There is going to be difference of opinion. One of our greatest scholars of recent time, Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, who was the Grand Mufti of Darul Uloom Deoband, and he came to South Africa many a times, and he passed away in South Africa, buried in the East End, in Johannesburg. So he has written a book, Hudud al-Ikhtilaf, The Boundaries of Difference of Opinion. And in that book he writes an amazing thing. He said, consensus, complete consensus will only happen in two situations. Complete consensus will only happen when people are dumb, don't have intellect, and people are dishonest. He said, complete consensus will only happen in two situations. People are dishonest and people are dumb and are stupid. So they are dumb and stupid, or they don't use the intellectual capacity, so they can't formulate thoughts. They can't formulate intellect. They can't form their own opinion. If there are people of intellect, they're going to form their opinion, there will be difference of opinion. And sometimes there will be consensus because of dishonesty, meaning a person is in a gathering, people talk about something, he has a different thought, or he doesn't agree with what has been said, but he doesn't have the integrity and honesty to say, I don't agree with this. They say, where there are people of integrity and there are people of intellect, there's always going to be difference of opinion. And now, before I even make mention with regard to how do we deal with difference of opinion in religion, it's important for us to have a complete, you know, a rider from the very beginning. Here we are not talking about difference of opinion on fundamental issues of deen. We're not talking about difference of opinion on fundamental there can be no difference of opinion in fundamental issues of deen. Something that is aqidah, Allah is one. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a messenger of Allah. He's the khatamun nabiyyin. He's a seal of prophets. Anyone who believes as a prophet after our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he cannot be a Muslim. This is the reality. The ulama of the world have taken a view with regard to groups that have, you know, given and have said that there is a prophet after our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are not Muslims. There can be no difference of opinion. There can be no difference of opinion on clear-cut, established norms of halal and haram. 5 times daily salat is farz upon everyone. There can be no difference of opinion on that. Inna salata kanat al-mu'minina kitaban mawquta. There can be no difference of opinion on the hurmat and on the prohibition of interest. Sood, ahallallahu al-bay wa harram al-riba. I have made trade halal, I have made riba haram. There can be no difference of opinion with regard to the prohibition of zina. لا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة. Don't come near zina, it is an immoral deed. There can be no difference of opinion on established notions of halal and haram, and there can be no difference of opinion on aqidah in which the entire ummah is united. But on subdivisional issues, on issues where Islam allows a scope of difference of opinion, where it is not the fundamentals, it is not clear-cut halal, not clear-cut haram, there will be difference of opinion, and those difference of opinion must be respected. Those difference of opinion must be respected. And sometimes those things come about because of different reasons. Sometimes it becomes of temperament. Sometimes it becomes of perception. Many years ago, many people might not be knowing, but maybe the elderly amongst us might be knowing that Maulana Palan Haqqani came in the late 60s, early 70s. And when he came, of course, there was a great amount of people who followed him. So one day he gave this example of a person. People didn't know. There were a few blind people, and someone told him, go and look at the elephant and, you know, go and put your hand over the elephant and come up with a conclusion. What does this elephant look like? Someone came up and looked at the trunk and said, there is a big trunk in front of it. Sometimes people looked at the great feet of the elephant, and they started putting their hands there and said, the feet is like the trunk. Someone looked at the skin and they said, the skin is like this. Now, that perceptions are not wrong. Even if three different people have different perceptions about what the animal and what elephant was, it's not a wrong thing. It was according to their perception. Sometimes difference of opinion happens because of temperament. Let me give an example from the life of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So at the time of the Battle of Badr, there were prisoners of war. So when the prisoners of war came, what must we do with the prisoners of war? First time, you had to deal with prisoners of war in an Islamic setting. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, these are people like us. They are our family. You know, have mercy upon them. Have clemency upon them. And if we have mercy upon them, maybe these very same people will become Muslims in time to come. And exactly that is what had happened. Because Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's view was accepted, showed mercy to them. Afterwards, they became Muslims. And they became great Muslims. Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, these are people who have come out against truth. And this is the first battle of truth and falsehood. Let each and every one of them be executed, so that the people of falsehood know that they should not play around, or they should not take chances with people of truth. And I'm also suggesting that here there are people who are the family members in Medina who have migrated. They must be the ones to execute their closest family members, to show that there is no blood ties that is beyond our faith. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard these two views, and he made what an amazing, you know, analysis. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he called the Sahaba and he said, some people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made their hearts soft. And sometimes certain people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made them harsh upon the truth. And they are steadfast upon the truth. And Umar, your example is like Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, who said, Rabbi la tadhar ala al-ardi min al-kafirina dayyara. Oh Allah, do not leave one single disbeliever alive in this world. And Umar, your example is like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam made a dua, رَبَّنَا اتْمِسْ عَلَىٰ أَمْوَالِهِمْ وَاشْتُرْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ فَلَا يُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى يَرَوُوا الْعَذَابَ الْعَلِيمِ. Oh Allah, destroy Fir'aun and put a seal on his heart that he must not become iman, he must not see, must not see and bring iman until he sees your punishment. And that's exactly what happened. So Fir'aun, when he was dying, he said, "Hatta idha adrakahu al-gharq," when he was being drowned, he said, "Amantu annahu la ilaha illa alladhi amanat bihi banu Israel. I bring iman upon the Lord of Bani Israel." So you see, he saw the truth after Allah's adab. And Allah Ta'ala replied and said, "Al-an waqad asayta qablu." Now you want to bring iman after all the corruption and the oppression that you had done. So, oh, Umar, your example is like Musa alayhi salam and Nuh alayhi salam. And oh, Abu Bakr, your example is like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, who made dua, "Faman tabi'ani fa'innahu minni." Whoever follows me is part of me. And oh Allah, whoever follows me is part of me, you will show mercy upon him. But if anyone is disobedient, you are also Ghafurur Rahim, you are also forgiving and merciful. Huh? I always tell people, Ibrahims are normally kind and compassionate. Allah makes mention, "Inna Ibrahim ala halimun awwahu munib." Now people find that also to be objectionable. What must you do now? So Ibrahim is a little bit like that. You know, they are inclined towards forgiveness and kindness. And oh, you know, what I'm giving an example is, sometimes differences of opinion is because of that particular temperaments. So how do we deal with this? The important is we have to understand. After understanding, no difference of opinion is allowed in terms of fundamentals and on established halal and haram. But after that, in the time of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that's why we have to respect this difference of opinion. The time of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after the battle of the trench, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba felt the fight is over, the battle is over, they heaved a sigh of relief, the enemies that, you know, had departed. And Jibreel Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came and said, "O Prophet of Almighty Allah, you have taken off your armor. The angels haven't done so. They say you have to go and deal with the tribe of Bani Qurayza, who, despite the agreement that was made in Medina that they will protect Medina, they conspired with the enemies against the Muslims. You have to go and deal with them." So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahaba, "Now listen to this. Go and read, rush to Bani Qurayza, we have to deal with them. And you go and read Asr Namaz in Bani Qurayza." And on the way, Asr Namaz was becoming Qaza, coming to the time of Maghrib. One group of people said, "Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us we must read Asr in Qurayza. Even if it becomes Qaza, we're going to read Namaz in Qurayza. We're going to read Asr." They took it literally. The other group said, "Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, men, go quickly. And if in the way, there's a fear that we're going to miss Asr Salat, let us read Asr Salat on its time, then we will go to Qurayza." There was a difference of opinion. Both parties did according to that because they were trying to establish what was the meaning of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's instruction. And after that, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say anyone is right or wrong. He didn't say anyone is right and wrong. He established and he said, alhamdulillah, to both the parties. Difference of opinion, trying to find out what was the method and what was the real objective of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying. Sometimes there are this type of thing. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Hazrat Mawlana Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and everyone by and large, you know, respects him. The person who compiled Fazail al-Amal, read so many different interpretations and commentaries of Hadith book. He said an amazing thing. He said, where there is difference of opinion, and there is scope for difference of opinion, and it is handled correctly, there will never be fitna. There will never be corruption. If there is fitna in difference of opinion, it is because we have not been able to show respect and we have not been able to deal with the difference of opinion correctly. And we are finding this in today's time. Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Ali went to the qabr of Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali. And there he read Fajr Salah. And despite the fact that Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Ali believed that to read Qunut after second ruku in Fajr is compulsory, and he believes in Rafaya Dain, lifting your hands, on that particular Fajr, Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Ali did not do any one of those two things. And someone said, "Imam Shafi, what did you do? Isn't this your view? Isn't this what you believe in?" He said, "Out of respect for the person in this qabr, out of respect for the person in this qabr who held another view, I didn't do this." And I'm not telling that people must do this. I'm just giving an example from our illustrious history. And there are so many examples amongst the Sahaba. Hazrat Ali and Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you know, had a civil war because of an issue about how to deal with the killers of Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Long story, I can't go into it. But despite the fact, when Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away, Hazrat Muawiyah started crying. His wife said, "Why are you crying when you had duels with him?" You know, you had difference of opinion with him. He said, I'm crying at the departure of knowledge. One day in the time of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'anhu, a very close confidant and a very close companion of Ali radiallahu ta'anhu came to visit. So Muawiyah radiallahu ta'anhu told him that, give me the qualities of Ali radiallahu ta'anhu. And he started giving the qualities of Ali, so beautiful qualities of Ali radiallahu ta'anhu. He started crying. Hazrat Muawiyah started crying until his beard became wet. This was with regard to a person with whom he had difference of opinion. And that difference of opinion was exploited by the munafiqeen, which led to war. But that is how they respected one another. And this I can go on giving so many different examples with regard to it. That even in latter times, or two of our great scholars in India, Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Ali and Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali, differed with whether the establishment of Pakistan. Right? So we all know that whole particular incident, the partition happened in 1947. So Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Ali was in favor of Pakistan, and he wrote a whole treatise why Pakistan must be formed. Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali said, you are weakening the Muslims. And he had many reasons, some wonderful reasons why Pakistan and India must remain one. You know, and one of the reasons, just to show you the vision of the ulama of the time, sometimes you feel ulama don't have vision. So Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali had written that a time will come, there will be major blocks, there will be major power blocks. And of course it happened, the communist bloc and the capitalist bloc, NATO and the Warsaw Pact. And if we are going to be small countries, we are going to become subservient to those power blocks. But if we remain one big country, we will be a power block on ourselves. We will not need to be subservient to any other power block. That is why we should not have partition. Be as it may, partition happened. But despite the fact that they used to respect one another, when Maulana Madni Rahmatullah Ali, because of his opposition to the British colonialists, was arrested. So that particular time, Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Ali was like weeping, and he was very sad. So someone told him, someone from the Muridin, the people who were around him, yeah, but he himself went against the British, so he courted arrest. So he got arrested, so what's the big deal? So what did Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Ali say? That Hussain radiallahu ta'ala also went, despite the other companions telling him not to go to Karbala and Kufa. Does it lessen our pain because of his martyrdom? Because he went on his own? So what are you telling me that Maulana Madni went on his own, and therefore, if he got arrested, I mustn't feel the pain? And then he said, I didn't realize how much love I got for Maulana Madni. After his arrest, when he was feeling so much pain, he said, I didn't realize how much love I got for Maulana Madni. Brothers, I think we need to start seriously looking at these things in our present context. I'm not saying, firstly, there are a few things you must do from all of these things. What are the few things? First, never lose sight of the bigger picture. Never lose sight of the bigger picture. People who believe in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam will always be more closer to you than those who do not believe in Allah and His Rasul. Why do we carry on that the people who believe in Allah and His Rasul are greater enemies to us than the enemies of Islam? At a time like this, are we supposed to make big about the differences of opinion that happens amongst us when we have such great challenges, when the enemies want to annihilate Muslims? We need to lose sight of the bigger picture. When Hazrat Muawiyah and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu were fighting, the Christian king wrote to Muawiyah, I will help you against Ali. Right? I will help you. And at that time there was this duel that they were. There was a difference of opinion. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu wrote back and said, the day you cast an evil glance in the direction of Ali, I will be the first person to stand behind Ali to fight against you. I will forget my difference of opinion. I will stand with Hazrat Ali to fight against you. Don't dare take advantage of our difference of opinion. The second thing is, you see, religious argumentation. I mean, I'll just try to conclude this. Religious argumentation is something that is for the learned scholars. I'm not saying you should not become a scholar. Become a scholar. But religious argumentation is for the ulama and the religious scholars. You don't, as ordinary people, don't get involved in that. Follow those whom you got trust in and whom you rely upon. But don't go around as a person who doesn't understand the arguments, doesn't understand the evidence, for you to go and give, for you to give an expert opinion, you need to be an expert. If you don't have that, follow the one whom you've got the greatest reliance and trust on, but don't become part and parcel of criticizing other ulama. This is not something that we should do. And another important thing is, stay away from heated arguments. Stay away from heated arguments on religion. It solves nothing. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi said that argumentation and religions, it loses sight and it takes away the intellect. Religious argumentation, and especially when arguments become heated, you can't see the correctness of any view because you are blinded by prejudice and you're blinded by hatred. And above all, and I will conclude with this, brothers, difference of opinion should never ever lead to hatred. Never ever lead to hatred. I mean, when we say that there are certain things that are clear cut, then why don't we make the very same thing with regard to this particular matter? Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "La tabaghadu." Don't hate one another. Today, unfortunately, I must say, and this is something my own opinion, that we have almost made hatred into a virtue. Really, people have made hatred into a virtue. Yet Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "La tadkhulul jannata hatta tu'minu." You can't enter Jannah until you have iman. "Wala tu'minu hatta tahabbu." And you don't have iman until you love one another. Your iman is not complete until you don't love one another. Yet people make hatred into a virtue. So don't, no matter the difference of opinion, hold your view, follow the one whom you want to follow, but don't get involved in hatred. La tabaghadu. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is the last hadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ala adullukum ala shayin idha fa'altumuhu ta'abna." Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith that, "Should I not tell you, ala ukhbirukum bi afzala darajata qa'imil layli wa sa'imin nahar?" Should I not tell you something that is greater in rank? Then nafil salat, nafil fast, bala ya Rasulullah, tell us ya Rasulullah, al-islahu dhat al-bayn. Bring people together. Reconcile people. Don't create nafrat, don't create hatred. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, because hatred shaves off, and because shaving has got to do with the hair, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I don't say it shaves off your hair, it shaves off your entire deen. Hatred shaves off your entire deen. All your good deeds get wiped away because of hatred. May Allah give you a tawfiq of understanding. So in brief, what I made mention, Allah Ta'ala has created us differently, even in intellectual capacities. Because of that, there will be difference of opinion. We need to manage those difference of opinion in our relationships and everything. Similarly, with regard to religious matters, there will be difference of opinion, but not in fundamentals, not on clear-cut, established halal and haram. In those issues where there is scope for difference of opinion, there must be respect for one another. There must be respect for the opinions of one another. I gave you a string of examples from the life of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's companions and great people of the past. And then I made mention with regard to it. From here, what we learn, always look at the bigger picture. Always don't get involved in religious argumentation, especially those who don't have the expert opinion. Follow the one that whom you have reliance and trust in without criticizing anyone else, and never allow difference of opinion to lead to hatred. Because hatred is something that has been condemned in the Quran and the Sharia. May Allah give you right of your understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
This brother will be taking the Shahada.